This is Issues and Ideas, a weekly magazine of issues, events, people, and activities on the Central Coast. I'm Marisa Waddell. Coming up on the program today, there's a local nonprofit doing important work promoting sustainable vineyard practices. Also, Tom Wilmer visits with travel writer Michael Servin, whose latest book explores the best activities and places the Central Coast has to offer from a local's perspective. And Krissa Hewitt and Stephen DeLuque talk with Michael Riddell, the mastermind behind the Phantom Project happening in San Luis Obispo County. It's an ephemeral gallery project that makes use of vacant commercial space to display juried art exhibits. That's all ahead on Issues and Ideas. Good afternoon. I'm Marisa Waddell with you on Issues and Ideas. There's a group on the Central Coast that's doing important work promoting sustainable vineyard practices. They are the nonprofit Central Coast Vineyard Team, based in Atascadero, and today we'll learn about how this team is making the Central Coast a better place to live and work. And we'll also learn about their upcoming event, the Earth Day Food and Wine Festival. My guest is Chris Beal, director of the Central Coast Vineyard Team. Welcome, Chris.
Well, good afternoon.
I would like to learn a little bit more about the background and the history of the Central Coast Vineyard Team. When was it founded, and what is your mission?
So the group began with a group of growers back in 1994 who had this idea around sustainable farming, and they formed this loosely organized nonprofit. I've been with the group since 1998. The group, actually, we should be really proud of this group because it's really won awards nationally and has done all sorts of interesting work in terms of research and demonstration. In fact, some of our early education projects were modeled by other groups. And so again, you know, what happened with a small group of growers just getting together and then little by little gaining momentum and gaining industry attention and interest, really all about sharing information among each other, trying to, learn tips and tricks about sort of low-impact farming and how to do a better job with the resources we have. And that's what we've been doing for quite a while now.
Okay, and now you have around 300 growers in your group?
Yeah, we have 300 members, which is amazing because it really wasn't that long ago that we didn't even have a membership program. And every year I think, oh gosh, you know, are people going to be tired of us? And I'm always just so grateful for the support that comes in from the industry. It shows us that we continue to do work that provides value for them and that they see fit to support our organization.
Okay. Tell me about the different regions that are represented in the Central Coast Vineyard Team membership.
Sure. We have members really all the way, you know, from Santa Cruz, San Benito, Monterey, San Luis, and Santa Barbara counties. We do have a few members outside of that. We have a friend in Malibu who is a member, and I remember for years he would drive up to the Santa Barbara meetings to go to our tailgates and to, you know, learn about soils and irrigation and bugs and things like that. And but for the most part, our core membership is here locally.
Are there vineyards in Malibu?
There are.
I never knew.
It's amazing, isn't it? There are vineyards almost everywhere.
What kind of grapes?
You know, I'm not really sure about that, but they even have a wine festival and everything. So
how about that?
But I always, you know, I would get these memberships, you know, from somebody from LA or somebody from Malibu, and I would always just giggle. And I first of all, I had no idea how they even found out about us, because it's not like we're a big, you know, monster of an organization. We have very, you know, kind of, you know, modest communications, but they, you know, supported our group and come to our meetings and appreciate what we have to offer.
What are some of the more pressing issues that grape growers need help with that you're providing help for?
Right. Well, you know, all of our education and outreach is based on grower to grower sort of methods of extension. So it's not me, Chris, saying, you know, you should learn about this, but it's really identified from our outreach group of growers. In terms of those issues, they're always sort of cyclic and they change. You know, it might be, you know, pest management for a while if there are some new, you know, pests showing up and we're learning about some interesting IPM that goes along with that. Or it might be water quality issues or water conservation issues. Sometimes it's habitat. So, you know, we find that kind of the hot topics sort of, you know, wave around and we try to be responsive to that. that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and IPM, integrated pest management.
Very good.
Okay, tell me some of the techniques that vineyards can use that are more sustainable in that respect.
Well, you know, when we talk about integrated pest management, we're talking about sort of appreciate the farm as a system. You know, understanding that your irrigation methods really affect the canopy and the vigor, and that can actually influence your pest pressure. That your cover cropping practices about, you know, all those grasses or flowers that you might see growing in between the vines, that they provide sort of, you know, diversity both above and below ground, and that affects your pest management. Great pest management involves with knowing your vineyards, you know, knowing the pests and knowing the beneficials and keeping track of that, really, you know, paying attention to the population dynamics of what's happening so that you can do the best job and the job with the least impact out there.
Are these some techniques that even very small backyard growers can implement? And do you have very small growers in your membership?
One of the great things I love about this group is that it's so diverse. It has a tremendous variety in terms of the scale. We have 4-acre growers and we have, you know, 3,000-acre growers. And I think it's a very special thing that these different people can come together and all learn from each other. There are things that a small grower can do that maybe a bigger grower couldn't do because of scale, mm-hmm. and vice versa. There's some research and technology that can happen with a bigger operation that a smaller grower couldn't do, but together they can learn. And absolutely, this idea of knowing the population dynamics of your vineyard and, you know, paying attention to that are absolutely principles that can be followed at home.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned pest management, and I have heard about insectiaries. What is an insectiary, and how does somebody who grows grapes establish one, and what are they for?
Well, I could interpret that word in a couple of different ways. Mm-hmm. I could interpret it as a sort of a biological plant life around the vineyard that would be diverse and naturally attract a diversity of insects. So again, we're trying to, you know, promote the diversity of the biology around the vineyard, because in the end that makes it more stable, mm-hmm. and less susceptible to a single, you know, problem or a single pest. Also, an insectary could be actually a company that would grow bugs, mm-hmm. and those bugs could be, you know, purchased and released to augment sort of the biology that exists there naturally.
Okay. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell, and my guest today is Chris Beal, who's the executive director of the Central Coast Vineyard Team. And we're learning about this nonprofit organization, how they make this place a better place to live and work. And also about the Earth Day Food and Wine Festival, which is an event coming up very soon on the Central Coast to benefit the program. Before we talk about the Earth Day Food and Wine Festival, I want to know more about some of the issues that are facing vineyards. And I know water quality is a big issue in general on the Central Coast. How does water quality affect vineyards and the area around vineyards? And what are you doing to help?
It's a great question. How much time do we have here?
In 30 seconds or less. I think we could do a whole show on water quality, I'm sure.
There's so many different, you know, ways to, you know, answer that. I mean, we're looking at, you know, groundwater quality and the runoff from storms, if we get any rain. You know, all of those are deeply affected by land use. And absolutely, water quality is, you know, one of the things that we talk about. It's been on the news radar lately with the new regulations that have just been adopted by the Regional Water Quality Control Board. But there's a lot of things going on in terms of vineyard and farming operations that protect water quality. I mean, if you look around in a vineyard in a rainy year during the wet season, you will see a lot of that is covered. And that's one of the most simple things we can do, is to basically hold the soil in place with vegetation and have that be filtered as the stormwater, you know, runs off. That is a huge practice that we can do to protect surface water quality. In terms of, you know, groundwater quality, a lot of, you know, we talk about, and we know that people are doing a really great job in terms of You know, very efficient nutrient management, very efficient water management. We're very fortunate to have the technology available and the information available that allows people to be very precision oriented in terms of their farming practices with water and nutrients.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that erosion has some impact on water quality as well. Is that true?
Again, and, you know, in vineyards, we're looking at the winter time because you don't really have a lot of erosion or runoff. You wouldn't have that in the summertime. So it's really during the rainfall or storm events. And again, having those grasses or flowers in place, the trees, that all serves multiple purposes. It holds the soil in place. It helps protect the soil quality to allow the soil to absorb more water. And then the water that is running off actually becomes filtered through that vegetation.
Mm-hmm. Tell me where you get your funding, the Central Coast Vineyard team.
Right. So we are a 501c3 nonprofit. So we have a diversity of funding sources. We've been very well supported by the industry who give us money through membership fees. We have our SIP certification program, which we get fees for that. We have grants that we do for research and education and demonstration. And then we have our events, so the Sustainable Ag Expo and the Earth Day Food and Wine Festival. So we're very fortunate in that we do a lot of program-related work that allows us to do our work, fulfill our mission, and helps us sustain the organization from a financial standpoint.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned SIP. That's Sustainability in Practice?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you just briefly tell me about the certification program?
Sure. And again, SIP is one of many things that we do, but it's essentially a sustainability certification program that looks at the whole farm. So it's looking at the things that we've talked about in terms of, you know, water quality and energy and air quality, erosion, habitat. We have a third-party certification system. All the standards are online. They were peer-reviewed and very independent and transparent and rigorous system. You know, people that want to be certified need to, you know, meet a number of practices, verify those practices through an independent inspection, and be granted eligibility through this independent committee. And we're in our fifth year right now. It was the natural evolution of our self-assessment systems that we had been doing since 1996. And in our fifth year, we've grown to 27,000 statewide acres that have been certified under this program. And it's pretty exciting for me because it's, it takes a long time and so much hard work to get something like this going. But, you know, I can walk into a store and find a bottle of wine with a SIP certification seal on it. And that's really what we were hoping for. We wanted some sort of, you know, consumer or customer-facing recognition for people that, you know, wanted to farm this way and wanted to make the investment to get certified to sort of, you know, stake their claim.
Mm-hmm. We just have about a minute left, and I want to give you an opportunity to talk about just briefly the Earth Day Food and Wine Festival that's coming up. It's a fundraising event and sounds like a fun event for Central Coast Vineyard team.
Yeah, on April 21st, we'll be having our sixth event at Pomar Junction Vineyards and Winery. It's a really great event. We actually have more food than wine. We have food and wine from all over the Central Coast. Very, very top quality, yet very laid back like our group is at Pomar Junction Vineyards and Wine. You can visit our website at earthdayfoodandwine.com. It is a fundraiser for our event, but we've been very, very proud of how this little party has evolved, where we can connect people that care and recognize the role of the farmer in terms of protecting the environment and celebrate with a little food and wine.
Okay, great. Give me your website one more time and maybe a phone number too.
Great. It's earthdayfoodandwine.com, and people can call our office for more information at 466-2288.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I've been talking with Chris Beal of the Central Coast Vineyard team, and their upcoming event again is the Earth Day Food and Wine Festival. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.